tuned to yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, Arthur Lake and Penny Singleton star in the Blondie series. But right now, Harold Perry is the great Gildersleeve, playing the character on NBC for nearly a decade. This next episode of the show, called The Magazine Salesman, from February 5th, 1947.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve. The great Gildersleeve. Breakfast is over and the dishes have been washed. The great man has retired to the solitude of his study to balance his checkbook. Outside, the mud of the first thaw is lying as quietly as only mud can lie. And inside...
Confounded vacuum cleaner. How can I think? Well, 12 checks still out. Better get them down here in black and white. Let's see, $25.84 to the coal company. $12.47 to the laundry. Darn cheap pencil. Where's my fountain pen? Nuts.
Bertie! Bertie!
Hey, here's Gildersleeve.
Where's my pen?
Yes, Gildersleeve. Bertie, did you wash my brown hair ribbon? I can't find it.
Bertie!
You look at the inkwell. The inkwell?
Uh-huh, yes, sir. I haven't been writing underwater, Bertie. Bertie, I said I haven't been writing under...
What'd you say, Bertie?
Quiet, confound it! Why does everybody around here have to shout?
Anything wrong with Gildersleeve?
No, Bertie, nothing important. Just my checking account. And the way people in this house are always mislaying my things.
Oh, I thought you were yelling about your fountain pen. There in your vest.
Yeah, Bertie, I... Vest? Oh, so it is. I knew it was someplace. Thank you, Bertie.
Always glad to help, Mr. Gildersleeve, especially when you're working on something.
Yes, well, thank you, Bertie.
All you got to do is say the word, Mr. Gildersleeve,
yes,
and I've got whatever I'm doing to help out.
Very well, Bertie. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Always glad to help.
It's all right, Bertie. I'll wear the blue one.
I'll get to the brown off the line in just a minute, Miss Marjorie.
Oh. That's why I turned off the vacuum cleaner, Mr. Gildersleeve, so it'd be quiet for you.
Yes, yes.
So there wouldn't be any noise.
Yes, Bertie. Maybe it'd be better if you just start the vacuum cleaner again, huh?
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'll just go upstairs and do some nice, quiet dusting.
It's a good thing I'm diplomatic. Let's see now. Check stubs. Where's my fountain pen? Oh, in my vest. Now, where do I stand here? 25, 298. What's that for? Oh, flowers from Miss Fenwick. I wonder if I handled her right. Well... $7.15 plus $8.50 plus the doorbell. Doorbell.
Bertie! Doorbell!
Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Bertie! Marjorie! Somebody! Can't you hear up there?
We're trying on a dress, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, all right. But they wouldn't answer the door if I was trying on a dress. I mean...
Where's Leroy?
Oh. Hello, Craig.
Where's Leroy?
Leroy is not in.
Where is he?
I haven't the slightest idea.
That's good. I came to see you.
Me? Well, now...
Have you got some money?
Money?
Sure, I'm a salesman.
Well, that's fine, but I'm...
Come on, buy a magazine prescription.
Magazine prescription? Not today, Craig, not today.
You don't want one?
No, Craig, I'm busy.
Now, Craig.
Craig,
Bobby, won't
buy one.
Oh, boy. Oh, hello, Mr. Bullard.
No!
I didn't see you around the porch there.
It's all right, Gildersleeve. You weren't supposed to. I'm running the board to take the first whack.
He won't buy one.
Craig, stop it. He'll buy one. Craig somehow got the idea he wanted to sell magazines, and I'm just taking him on the first call, giving him a few pointers and sales methods.
Oh, you do the arm twisting, eh, Bullard?
No. Got the wrong slant on this, Gildersleeve. Boy here is doing a mighty fine thing, building his character.
Huh?
I believe that every boy should be taught at an early age how to earn a penny.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Bullard.
Give a boy a head start in the business world, and you've given him, a head start.
Yes, yes, I agree with you.
And he's starting out with a good product, Gildersleeve. A magazine that tells you how to fix up your house. Very worthwhile. Only a dollar for 6 issues. And if he sells 50 subscriptions, he earns his own bicycle at no expense.
No expense, eh?
Now, son, dry your eyes and give your sales talk. Go ahead. Show him you're a little salesman.
Yes, go right ahead, you little salesman.
Mr. Gildersleeve, do you know how to, I forget, Pa.
How to plaster a back porch? Do you know how to build an extra bathroom and a closet? Remember it now, son?
Is your barn properly ventilated?
That's fine, Craig.
Talented, isn't he?
We think so.
Yes, yes.
The rest of the family will enjoy this magazine, too.
Oh?
Lots of things in it for the kitchen.
And it's got a red cover.
Let your customer have a look at the product, Craig.
Here, you can take a free look.
All right. Well, the post-war barn and home magazine. But, Craig, we haven't got a barn.
What do I say now, Pa?
Don't get discouraged, son. Mr. Gildersleeve is just making believe he's a hard prospect. Aren't you, Gildersleeve?
Huh? Oh, of course. Did you say $1, Craig?
That's right. And give me back the magazine.
No, Craig. You deliver the first issue. He keeps that copy.
Oh, yes. Here you are, my boy. $1.
Say thank you, son.
But, Pop, the instructions said he should thank me. It's a bargain.
Oh? Oh, well, I thank you, Craig.
Well, goodbye, Gildersleeve.
Yes, goodbye.
You're welcome, Mr. Gildersleeve.
The little tadpole. And that Bullard. The old skinflint's got more money than I'll ever have. But you don't see me chasing Leroy out to get a head start in the world. Head start. The post-war barn and home. Who'd be silly enough to buy the darn thing? Besides me. Try it again. What was I doing? Oh, yes. Adding up these stubs. 4 and 3, 7, 10. Carry the 1, 4. That can't be right. And 15 and 3. Confound that doorbell.
I'll get it, Opie. I think it's the mailman.
The mailman. More bills, probably. Is it the mailman, my dear? A package? Well, who could be sending me a Valentine this early? I'll open it in here, Marjorie.
Gosh, it's heavy.
Yeah, well, put it right here, Marjorie, on the desk.
Oh, heck, it's for Leroy.
Oh. Leroy Forrester, Esquire.
Who'd be sending him a package anyway?
Well, wrapped, too.
All the way from New York.
Well, we'll just have to wait till Leroy comes home.
Yes, we'll just have to wait.
Paper's broken here a little bit.
Now, Uncle Mort.
Marjorie, it's a lucky thing this got here when it did. Might have fallen apart. Flimsy on this corner, you see?
Unky.
Yeah, weak here, too. Oop. Tore a little.
See anything, Unky?
No. Confound that boy. Probably been sending in box tops again. Marjorie, what do you know about this?
Oh, he doesn't tell me anything anymore. He says I'm a girl.
Yes. I've told him 1,000 times not to answer all those ads with free offers. They're never free. Leroy's free chemistry set cost me $7.22. And a hole in the parlor rug.
But you certainly had a lot of fun playing with it until you spilled the acid, Uncle Mort.
That's not the point. Question of discipline, my dear. Leroy has stuck me for the last time.
Oh, Marjorie, ouch!
Leroy, how often have I told you not to...
I know it, I'm sorry. Has the mailman been here? He certainly has.
That's what I want to talk to you about, Leroy. Now, if that package...
Too bad your eyes aren't as good as your lungs.
Huh? Oh, my package.
Leroy, if you've been answering box tops again, I can no longer afford to go... Leroy?
Hey, wrong paper, huh? Oh, I don't know.
And furthermore, Leroy... Leroy, confound it, I'm talking to you.
Go ahead, I'm listening. There.
Leroy, if this is going to cost me... What are those?
Magazines. I'm going to sell them.
Well, at least... Magazine?
It sounds perfectly dull to me.
That's all you know about it. The ad said people were begging for them. And look, I've got 50 copies. Gilsey?
Leroy.
Yeah?
51.
51?
Yes, I just bought one from Craig Bullard.
Craig, what a dirty guy. He's supposed to be selling women's futures and fashions. We had an agreement written in blood.
Well, nevertheless, he's selling the post-war barn and home, and I bought one from him.
Well, that's a fine way to treat me. I thought at least I could sell one.
One? But you have 50 magazines. Where were you planning to sell the other 49?
I probably could have sold them. For corn's sake, if my own uncle is going to double-cross me, I might as well give up.
Double-cross you? It was unavoidable, my boy. You didn't tell me you were planning to sell magazines.
I was just trying to earn a bicycle so I wouldn't have to ask you to buy me a new one.
But you have a bicycle.
Yeah, but you've stumbled over it so many times it runs sideways. Like a dog.
All right, I'll buy another post-war barn and home from you if it'll make you feel any better. Now, why don't you get busy and sell the rest of them?
I guess I'll have to if I want that bike. Only now that darn little Craig's got a head start.
It isn't a matter of a head start, my boy. It's a matter of knowing how to sell. Now, you've got to make people want to buy your magazine. Mr. Bullard has the wrong approach entirely.
Mr. Bullard? What's he got to do with it?
And he was helping Craig get started.
Well, gosh, if you'll help me, maybe...
You've got to learn to stand on your own 2 feet. Your old uncle's not going to be around forever, you know.
Magazines for him. I don't see
Mr.
why.
Mr. Bullard was merely making one call with a boy to give him a few pointers. Craig is a lot smaller than you.
Please help me, Uncle Mort. I'm not so big.
You're big enough to do this thing alone. Why, when I was your age, I sold at least 100 magazines every week, and I didn't get any bicycles for it either. Just bunions.
Gee whiz, with all that experience, you sure could help me.
Why should I help you? You wouldn't want to share your bicycle with me after you get it, would you?
I would if you weren't so fast.
Oh! No, I won't help you.
Okay, if you want people to say Mr. Bullard does more for his kids than you do...
Now, my boy, that isn't true.
He's helping Craig sell his magazine.
Leroy, you're arguing in a circle. I am not going to peddle the post-war barn and home. And I mean it.
And so we find the great Gildersleeve helping Leroy to peddle the post-war barn and home. But first, a word from the Kraft Foods Company. My wife and I were talking about food the other day, as we often do, and she made this interesting observation. She said that good meals don't start in the kitchen, they start in the food store.
I agree, Mr. Lang. That's why I always look for the friendly label of a tried-and-true food product. Then I know I'm off to the right start in planning my family's meals.
And that's one of the reasons we keep suggesting that you look first in your food store for Parquet margarine. Today, as always, the familiar Kraft name on each package of Parquet is your assurance of quality. Only the finest of American farm products are used in making Parquet margarine. That's why it's always so delicious on bread, toast, rolls, pancakes, and waffles. Parquet margarine is preferred by millions for its fresh, country-sweet flavor and for the good nourishment it provides so economically. So join the millions who look first when they shop for delicious, nourishing Parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by the Kraft Foods Company. Now, back to the great Gildersleeve, who has been coerced into helping his nephew Leroy sell that timely publication, the post-war Barn and Home magazine. Our two salesmen have split forces, each carrying 25 sample copies, and Gildersleeve, oddly enough, is warming up to his task like an old fire horse at the sound of the alarm.
Selling magazines. Haven't done this since I was a kid. Well, I'm older now. Ought to be a cinch. Let's see, who'll be the lucky sucker to get the first subscription? I know.
Well, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Afternoon, Peavy.
If you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Gildersleeve, you look like a cat about to eat a canary.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Something I can do for you?
No, I just thought I'd drop in for a chat, Petey.
And so, just what did you want to chat about?
Petey, what do you think about post-war barns?
Well, I really hadn't given them much thought, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You should, Petey. It's a very topical question at the moment.
Well, no, I wouldn't...
Why, certainly. And what kind of wallpaper should you put in your rumpus room, huh? There's another mighty topical question.
I haven't given that much thought, either.
Just let me show you something here, Petey.
Beg pardon, Mr. Gildersleeve, but rather a topical question has just occurred to me.
Oh, what's that?
Whether you're going to shove your elbow in that dusting powder or in those chocolate creams.
Oop. Thanks. I was so interested in what I was saying, I didn't notice. Now, is I... New shipment of chocolates, Petey?
They're called Daisy Delights. We have this open box out as a display item. Top's covered with cellophane that allows the customer to see the candy and at the same time keeps it sanitary.
Oh, well. They look delicious, Petey. Do you mind if I try this one here?
Well, the cellophane cover...
It's coming loose on this corner anyway.
Yeah, well,
you
I...
see? Well, as I was saying, Petey, these are new days, new ways. The time to start thinking about delicious candy, Petey.
Some of them have what appear to be ground almonds on the top.
Almonds, eh? Which ones? These? Filling. This one, mighty good, too. Yeah.
Don't imagine you'd be interested in taking that box home, will you, would you?
Well, no, Petey. Have to kind of watch the waistline, you know.
I couldn't hardly return it to the jobber.
What'd you say?
Maybe I could take that one home to Mrs. Petey.
Why? Is it your anniversary or something?
No, I was just wondering what a customer would think if I sold him a box of candy and when he got home there were two pieces missing.
Oh, well, I didn't think of that, Petey.
I have a feeling it might cause talk, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I see what you mean. How much is it?
$1, but I don't want you to feel that you have...
Oh, nonsense. Here you are, $1.
And 3 cents for the governor.
Yes.
I'd like to absorb the candy, the tax on the candy, but the profit margin is very small.
Oh, of course. Here you are, Petey. 3 pennies.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Shall I wrap it for you?
Oh, that's all right, Petey. It's much handier this way. Well,
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes?
What was it you were saying about barns in the post-war era?
Oh, forgetful. Petey, are you interested in the post-war home era? Do you know how to plaster your back porch? Do you know how to build an extra bathroom in the closet? Petey, is your barn properly ventilated?
Well, for goodness sake.
Thought-provoking, isn't it?
Well, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. You were talking about the post-war barn and home magazine, aren't you?
You bet. The post-war era, in a red cover.
Well, now, that's a coincidence.
Huh?
The distributor left me 10 copies last week. I still have them.
Oh. Peavy, you don't mean...
I haven't sold a one, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Gee, it's that bad?
I suspect the only thing that magazine is good for, Mr. Gildersleeve, is papering your rumpus room if you happen to have one.
Come on in, grab a chair. I'll be through with this gent in a minute.
Oh, take your time, Floyd. I didn't really come in to be worked on.
Yeah?
As a matter of fact, Floyd, I had sort of hoped to catch you alone.
Oh? What's on your mind, Commish?
Well, it's about your barbershop, Floyd.
Yeah?
Improvements I had in mind. Things to increase your business.
How about a nice close shave, too, mister?
No, just a haircut.
Increase my business, huh? How, for instance?
Well, you take magazines, Floyd. They're very important to a barbershop. People come in and you're busy. They want something to do, something to read.
I got plenty of magazines.
Yeah, but just the usual kind that you find anyplace.
There's always a copy of the Barber's Weekly laying around, Commish.
The Barber's Weekly?
What's wrong with the Barber's Weekly? Had my picture in it 6 weeks ago.
Yes, yes. And you bought 20 copies.
25. I got lots of relatives.
But, Floyd, you need other publications here in the shop. Something with class in it. Something with a message.
Like a massage, mister?
No, just a haircut.
People ain't interested in messages no more.
Well, perhaps not, Floyd, but they like to know how to do things. With their hands, I mean.
Yeah?
Of course they do. For instance, how would you go about putting an extra bathroom in your closet?
Frankly, Commish, I'd be in the dark.
There, you see? Thought-provoking, isn't it?
How's for some tonic to top it off, mister? Real oil base.
No, just a haircut.
Just what's all this leading up to, Commish?
Well, as a matter of fact, Floyd, I'm selling magazine subscriptions. Helping Leroy, of course. But it's really a very fine publication, Floyd. You could use it.
What's the name of this wonderful magazine, Commissioner? Ain't the post-war Barn and Hoosier.
It's Barn and Home, and it's one of the finest...
I already bought one from Leroy.
Leroy?
Yeah. He shoved it under my nose and said $1.
Oh? And you bought it?
Sure, you can't turn a kid down.
Well, that's very nice of you, Floyd.
Forget it.
Yeah, well, thanks anyway, Floyd. I'll, Oh. maybe this gentleman in your chair would like a subscription.
No, just a haircut. Well, Gildy.
Good afternoon, Horace.
Horace, $1. The best buy of your life, right under your nose.
You expect me to buy it by the smell? And it does.
Oh? You know what I'm selling?
It's all over town. Where's your peddler's license?
Peddler's license?
It's the law, Gildy. You can't peddle without a license.
Who's peddling? What do I want with a peddler's license, you old goat?
Well, I'm sorry, Gildy. I'd like to help you, but I can't be an accomplice to anything the least bit questionable.
Why, you old tightwad, you wouldn't give a drowning man a drink of water.
No, but I'm going to give you a piece of free advice, just like I gave Leroy.
Leroy? Great Scott, has he been here, too?
Beat you by an hour, Gildy. I advised him to concentrate on places where people have time to read, like the firehouse and waiting rooms, the railroad station, and places like that. Places where people loaf around.
Well, Horace, those are your feet on your desk.
Now, this is no time to be bitter, Gildy. I have an idea for you, too.
I can hardly wait.
Since it's a house and barn magazine, sell it where people are building and where there are farms. Out beyond the city limits.
The suburbs. By George, that is an idea, you old goat. Yes, sir, I'll get started on that right away. Yes, goodbye, Horace.
Remember, Gildy, the best thing for all concerned is for you to get out of town.
Right. Oh, what did he mean by that? Why can't they build the suburbs in town? How do you do, madam? Could I interest you in... Madam, do you know how to plaster your back? I just can't do it. I can't face another one. Mud. Mud up to my ankles. So Leroy can ride around in luxury on a free bicycle. Confound it all, I ought to plaster his back porch. Just wait till I get my hands on that taxi! Oh, taxi!
Your door. It'll be $2.75.
What? All right. It was worth it. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Sorry I can't subscribe to your magazine, but like I say, the wife takes care of them things.
Yeah. Oh. My poor feet. Confound that Leroy. By George, when I... Oh, hello there, Mr. Bullard. Walking, I see.
Just a little stroll before supper, Gildersleeve. Care to join me?
No, I've already had my exercise for the day.
Oh? Looks like quite a heavy briefcase you're carrying.
Water bills, Mr. Bullard. Receipts, you know.
Oh, I thought perhaps you were helping Leroy. Craig tells me he's been selling magazines, too.
Mr. Bullard, rather than sell that magazine, I'd buy Leroy a bicycle.
That's the way I figured it, Gildersleeve. Matter of fact, I told Craig as soon as he sold one copy, his little lesson was over. I bought the rest.
Huh?
Yes, Gildersleeve, you were our first and only customer. Well, good evening to you.
Good evening, Mr. Bullard. Well, that does it. Leroy will keep on riding his old bicycle and...
Oh! Why did that darn kid leave his bicycle?
Oh, brother. What a mess. Look at those spokes. Now, I've got to get him a new bicycle.
Mort, it sure is nice of you to subscribe to all 50 of those magazines.
The sum of $50 is no sense. Doc Martin, P. Gildersleeve. There, well, maybe that's cheap for a new bike at that.
Sure, and it really only cost you $49. I sold one subscription, remember?
I'd rather forget.
Now all we gotta do is fill out this form and mail it with a check. Here it is, Unc.
Bicycle absolutely free. That's right.
Fine print, isn't it, Uncle?
You always want to read the fine print, Leroy. Let's see. Mailed together with this form, properly completed. In addition to... Wait a minute. In addition to...
Something wrong,
Uncle?
Oh, what's the matter?
It says here, Leroy, finally, to cover shipping and service charges on your super deluxe skidaway bicycle, comma, please enclose your check for the additional sum of
$30.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. The music is by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley as Leroy, Louise Erickson as Marjorie, and Lillian Randolph as Bertie. Earl Ross is Judge Hooker, and Dick LeGrand plays Mr. Peavy. Stay tuned in now for Duffy's Tavern. This is John Lang saying goodnight to the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Great Gildersleeve, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of February, 1947, on NBC. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Coming up next, an episode of Blondie, featuring Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake, who before this broadcast had starred in 14 motion pictures based on the Chick Young comic strip characters. The CBS broadcast called Blondie's Beautiful Dreamer from June 19, 1944.
Don't touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie. Broadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations with Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake as Blondie and Dagwood Bumpstead, respectively.
And now for our weekly visit with our neighbors, the Bumpsteads of Shady Lane Avenue. Well, just at the moment, things are very quiet this afternoon at the Bumpstead home. That moment just passed, and now there's going to be a little action. In just a second, the phone is going to ring. There we are, and here comes Blondie to answer it.
Oh, dear, now I wonder who that could be. I just talked to Cora Dithers an hour ago. Hello?
Blondie, is that you?
Oh, yes, Dagwood. Oh, my goodness, it's hot today. Where are you?
I'm in jail.
Well, I hope it isn't as hot there as it is here, because it's... In jail?
I've been arrested.
What for? Jaywalking?
No. I've been arrested on suspicion of bank robbery.
Oh, Dagwood.
Yeah, isn't it awful?
What bank did you rob?
The First National Bank. No. I mean, that's the one they think I robbed yesterday afternoon. I'm innocent.
Construction Company. Office of J.C. Ditters, president of the J.C. Ditters Construction Company. J.C. Ditters saying hello.
Hello, Mr. Ditters.
Oh, hello, Blunt. Say, do you know where Dagwood is? He should be in the office working.
He's in jail.
Oh. But wait. Who gave him permission to go there? He robbed a bank on Dithers Company time. He was supposed to be working for me, not himself.
Well, wasn't he working for you yesterday afternoon?
Why, that's right. He was in the office all afternoon.
Well, then he couldn't have robbed the bank.
Why, of course not. Listen, I'll meet you down at the jail, Blumby, and we'll get him right out.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Dithers. I knew you'd be anxious to help.
Oh, I'm not anxious to help. But every minute he spends loafing in that nice, cool jail is costing me money. Goodbye.
Well, Dagwood, now that you're free, just relax.
Yeah.
And enjoy your chocolate soda. And tell us what happened.
Yeah, why should they think you'd want to rob a bank?
Yeah. Mm.
They know, you know as I know, that crime doesn't pay.
Yeah, but do they know as I know that the Dithers Company doesn't pay either?
Oh, sad. Don't be so ungrateful. Now explain things.
Yeah, well, Blondie, you know what I've been telling you about the dreams I've been having lately.
Oh, yes. It's sort of interesting, Mr. Dithers.
Mm.
Dagwood's been dreaming things that come true later.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Dithers.
Ho, ho, ho. And who makes your dreams come true? A fairy godmother, precious?
Oh, cut it out, J.C.
Well, then be sensible.
Mr. Dithers, don't you dare say another word until I find out why they arrested Dagwood on suspicion of bank robbery. Now, go ahead, Dad.
Yeah. Well, the other night, I dreamt that the First National Bank would be held up. So, when I went in there yesterday morning, I told Mr. Hoof, the cashier...
You did?
Yeah. That the bank was going to be held up in the afternoon. He wasn't much amused, particularly after he got held up. I guess he told the police what I said, and they grabbed me this morning.
Oh. Well, what are some of these other dreams you've been having?
Well,
Dag would dream that the Acme Market would sell me some clothespins. And sure enough, they did.
That's practically a miracle.
Yeah. And you know that property that the Hamill Car Company bought for their factory last week?
Yes, what about it?
I dream they did it a week before they did it.
Good grief, Bumstead.
Yeah.
Why didn't you buy the property yourself and make a profit?
Gee, I never dreamed about that. I mean, I never thought about it either.
What a dope. What a nitwit.
Yeah. Oh, please, Mr. Dithers. Remember, you are talking about my dream man.
Yes.
A nightmare, I call him.
Now, Dagwood, why didn't you buy that property yourself?
Now, well, how could I tell a dream was coming true? After all, last night I dreamt that today Mr. Dithers would find a $10 bill. And you haven't found one, have you, J.C.?
Well, have you, Mr. Dithers?
No. No, I haven't.
Yeah, and the same night I dreamt that Blondie bought a pair of nylons at the little place right next door here to this drugstore.
Nylons? Next door?
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe it. Goodbye.
Oh, of course. This whole thing is ridiculous. We all know that.
Yeah.
I hope.
It is a good soda.
Oops, there goes my spoon. Good grief. Bumstead.
What?
Look what I found.
Holy smoke, a $10 bill.
Your dream came true.
Yeah.
Hey, Bumstead, you can see into the future.
Oh, now that's silly, J.C. That's silly. How can I see into the future without a crystal ball?
Why, this is amazing.
Yeah.
There's a fortune in it. Stock market, real estate, oil wells, bingo. Dagwood, old friend. I want to make you a proposition.
You do?
That's right, Daggy. Old friend of mine.
Mr. Dithers, whenever you smile and call me an old friend of yours, I know you've got larceny in your heart.
Oh, Bumps.
You're trying to figure out some way of swindling me out of something, and I suppose I'll be a sucker as usual.
I suppose so. So let's get down to business.
Yeah.
I want to buy exclusive rights to all your dreams and the contents thereof.
Hmm. Would that mean I'd have to ask your permission to have a dream?
No, I wouldn't think so. But you'll have to tell me what your dreams are about whenever you have them. Well, what do you say, Daggy, old fuddy?
Well, Divvy, old fuddy-duddy. You haven't mentioned any sum of money yet, as per the party of the second part, ipso facto.
Oh, yes, money.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you $5 a week for your dreams.
Well, I don't know. $5 a week seems like...
$10, then.
Well, okay. Gee, I was just going to say that $5 a week seems like a lot for my dreams.
Oh. Well, don't worry, Bumstead. Oh, I'm going to make a fortune on your dreams. I'm going to make so much money there'll be even some left after I pay taxes on it. And believe me, that's a lot of money. I wouldn't have believed this could happen if I hadn't found that $10. Good grief.
Oh, holy smoke. Hey, my dream was right again.
They'd fallen down behind the shelf, and the saleswoman had just found them, and they didn't happen to be her size.
Bumstead.
Huh?
Don't forget that you sold me the rights to your dreams for $10 a week.
Oh, Dagwood, it's worth 25 or 50 times as much.
Well, Blondie, he hasn't paid me any money yet to bind the contract.
Oh, here's $20 in advance.
No, take it.
Take it.
Dagwood.
Bumstead.
Well, I promised I'd take the dough.
That's the stuff, Dagwood. Now, go and pay for the soda.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll be right back here, boy. $20.
Now, see here, Mr. Dithers.
Blondie, don't try to talk me out of my contract with him. He's stuck with it. Boy, I'm going to make a fortune out of this. And he can't tell his dreams to anyone but me.
Mr. Dithers, did you ever stop to think that Dagwood might talk in his sleep?
What?
I hate to be mercenary, but I'm the businessman in our house, and I expect to be cut in on my husband's dreams. And if you don't want to cooperate with me, I'll just listen in when Dagwood talks in his sleep and sell the information to someone else.
Oh, Blondie, is that fair?
Certainly. A dream with a lot of inside information could be very valuable. Now, let's really talk business, Mr. Dithers.
Well, I'll give you 10% of all I make from Dagwood's dreams.
Mr. Dithers, I want 75%.
75? Why, that's ridiculous. The most I'd ever give you is 50%.
Sold.
I wonder if I spoke too soon.
Well, it's all paid for, Blondie. Say, I guess I didn't tell you, J.C., about another dream I had last night. It was very exciting.
What was it? Betty Grable?
Oh, no, the annual boat race between the east side and the west side. Boy, what a race.
Why, Dagwood, that race is tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I know it.
Say, I just thought of something. Why, this will be worth a fortune to me.
Yeah, what's that, Mr. Dithers?
Well, Cora's been thinking about where we're going for our vacation.
Ah.
It's the same old business, the seashore or the mountains. Cora wants to go to the mountains and look at the scenery.
And you want to go to the seashore and look at the girls.
Yeah. No. Well, let's face it, I'm human.
And that's news to me.
Excuse me. Mr. Dithers, what does your vacation have to do with Dagwood's dreams and the boat race tomorrow?
Well, Dagwood will tell me which side won the race in his dream. Then I'll get Cora to bet with me that if the side I pick wins the race, I can choose where we go for our vacation.
Oh.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, it is a swell idea, Mr. Dithers, but it had one tiny little weakness.
Oh, what's that?
In my dream, I didn't see who won the race.
Oh, Dagwood, why was that?
Well, just as both boats drew towards the finish line and everyone was cheering and yelling and screaming.
Uh-huh. Yes, what happened?
The alarm clock went off.
Oh, dear. Huh? Is that all you remember about the race?
Well, Bonnie, you made me get out of bed, and I haven't learned yet how to continue my dream and brush my teeth at the same time.
Say,
huh?
Maybe he can dream the race all over again. Dagwood, how do you feel right now?
Right now?
Yes.
Oh, I feel fine, thank you. Very chipper and wide awake.
Well, don't you feel a little drowsy? I am practically asleep myself.
Yes, Dagwood, after your experience in jail, when did I get... Excuse me.
I'm not a bit sleepy. Or am I?
Dagwood, we'd better take you right home and let you float off to dreamland.
Oh, no. I couldn't sleep when I ought to be working for Mr. Dithers.
Oh, it's all right with me, Dagwood.
Oh, no. I just couldn't sleep on the couch on company time.
Oh, why not? You sleep at your desk on company time. Constantly.
Oh, please, Dagwood.
Well, all right, okay. I'm willing to lie down on the couch and rest my eyes a little bit, but I positively, absolutely refuse to go to sleep, and that's final.
Dorothy. I can't stand to listen to much more of this. I'm getting sleepy myself.
So am I. Oh, wait. I think he said something.
Oh, boy. Boy, look at him go.
Wow! Oh, it sounds like he's dreaming of the boat race, all right.
Oh, this is wonderful. I've always wanted to be able to decide where to go on my vacation. But it's impossible when you're married.
Mr. Dithers, you know, I never force Dagwood to go where I want to go for a vacation.
You don't?
Mm-mm. I just say, Dagwood, I'm going to the mountains. Do you want to come along? And he always says yes.
Women are so sweet and reasonable.
Here they come. Wow!
Oh, it must be the race, all right.
Yeah, Bumstead, watch that race.
Right.
Oh, please see which boat wins it.
Right.
Dagwood, who won? Who won the race?
Did I?
Who won the race?
Oh, holy smoke. Boy, I sure was dreaming, wasn't I, huh?
Dagwood, did you dream about the boat race again? The race that's going to be held tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, that's right. I did. Oh, what a race. The guys in each boat were roaring like mad right up to the finish.
Oh.
Well, did you see the finish?
No, I turned away to get a hot dog and missed it.
Oh, let me at it.
Yeah, but please.
Where I want to take it. The only chance in years and years and years.
There, now, don't cry, Mr. Dithers.
Oh, I just can't help it. Now then, will you please go back to sleep again?
No, I'm wide awake now.
Oh, Dagwood, you've got to go back to sleep. Mr. Dithers wants to know whether the east side boat or the west side boat is going to win. Now, dear, please see if you can't take another little nap.
No, I couldn't do it now, Blondie.
Bumstead! I haven't said go to sleep.
No, I can't possibly.
Well, I'm not going to stand for any more foolishness.
Huh?
Put your big fat head down on that pillow.
Now, wait a minute.
Come on, close your broken down eyes.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Now, go to sleep.
Yeah.
And if you're not off in 10 minutes, I'll come back and rock you to sleep with a rock. Remembers which boat wins the race this time. I've got to win that bet with Cora.
Oh. The poor darling is sound asleep.
The poor darling. Oh, shit.
Mr. Dithers, be careful. Don't step on Daisy's tail.
Don't what on whose which?
Oh, Mr. Dithers.
Get out of my boat, you low-bred, squalling, ill-tempered flea farm.
Mr. Dithers, get off Daisy's tail.
Get out of this room before I kick you out.
Oh, no! Hey, Mr. Dithers, now, don't kick Daisy. Now, stop that. Hey, boy, kick him, Daisy, get him.
Get on my lap. nice dinner, Blondie.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder where Dagwood is.
You know, Mr. Dithers, I wouldn't be surprised if Dagwood was taking a little after-dinner nap right now.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I know he's taking a nap.
Well, as a matter of fact, I know he'll take a nap, too. You see, I put a sleeping pill in his glass of milk.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Was that wrong?
I don't know. I dosed up his milk, too.
Oh, how many pills did you put in?
I don't know exactly. It was a sort of a level handful. I just wanted to be sure I'd sent him to Slumberland.
Mommy!
Oh, what is it, Cookie?
Daddy's on the couch honking his horn.
He's what?
You know, snoring.
Oh.
He's sound asleep.
So soon? Why, he just laid down a minute ago.
I know he's sound asleep. Didn't wake up when I hit him in the face with my Raggedy Ann doll.
Are you sure he wasn't really awake and just pretending to be asleep?
Yep. I hit him again to make sure.
Oh, Mr. Dithers, we'd better go right in and see if he's all right.
Oh, he'll be all right. Those pills are pretty weak.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, listen to those beautiful pear-shaped snores. He sounds like a frog with a man in his throat.
Mr. Dithers, I'm worried about this. I'm going to wake him up and see if he feels all right.
Oh, now, Blondie, don't do that.
Oh, but I don't want to take any chances. Dagwood! Dagwood, now wake up. Wake up, dear.
Yeah, I'm upset. Wake
Come
up.
On, Dagwood.
Good morning, honey.
Good morning, precious.
Oh, he's really out. I'm going to shake him. Dagwood, wake up. Oh, Dagwood, wake up.
Hello, Mr. Dithers.
Oh, I'm not Mr. Dithers, Dagwood.
Stop shaking me, Mr. Dithers.
Oh, Dagwood.
I'll handle him, Blondie. I'll get close and yell in his ear. Bounce head! Shut out of it. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Good night, darling.
Oh, dear, he's asleep again. Mr. Dithers, why don't you come back tomorrow and we'll see if he's dreamed about the race.
Oh, all right, Blondie. But I'm beginning to wonder if it's worth it. Bugshead, wake up. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The race is going to start any minute.
Those sleeping pills really worked on him. He was awake a couple of times this morning, but he fell right off to sleep again.
Good grief. 2 o'clock. The race has started. I've got to call Cora and make my bet with her.
But you don't know which boat Dagwood dreams would be the winner.
Oh, well, Blondie, hand me that pitcher of ice water.
Oh, Mr. Dithers, do you really think you should?
How can you ask that when you're shoving the pitcher right into my hand?
Well, time's a-wasting. Oh, he'll make an awful yell.
Well, it's for a good cause. Me.
No, I'm drowning. Help! Get the ice burn off my back. Help! I've been bird-eyed.
Blondie, get Cora on the phone right away.
Oh,
all right, Mr. Dithers.
Dagwood, which boat won the race in your dream?
Huh?
The east side or the west side boat?
Good morning, Mr. Dithers.
It's good afternoon. Who won?
Yes. Well, the way I dreamed it, the race was won by...
Good afternoon, Dagwood.
Good afternoon, honey.
Well, haven't you got a good morning kiss for me this afternoon?
Oh, sure, of course I have.
Oh, for the love of Pete, can't that Guna stuff wait? Until I find out who won?
No, Mr. Dithers. Here, take the phone.
Yeah. Here's your kiss, darling.
Oh, hello, Cora. I'll tell you the boat I'm betting on as soon as I can pry Dagwood away from Blondie. Oh, come on, folks. Break it out.
Oh, excuse us, Dagwood.
Excuse us.
Now, who won, Dagwood? I've got Cora hanging on the other end of this phone.
Let me think for a minute.
You know, they're going to signal the winner today with one shot from the cannon if the east side wins and two for the west side. We'll be able to tell right away. Now, hurry up.
Wait a minute. Now I remember. I remember who won.
Okay, Cora.
Yes.
And remember that if my boat comes in, we go to the seashore for our vacation. What is it, Edward?
The Navy boat won.
The Navy boat, Cora.
Yes.
Call you later. Well, I guess that's that. And I've got nothing to... The Navy boat?
Yes.
What did I say? There's only an east side boat and a west side boat.
Oh, wait, Mr. Dithers.
Bumstead, what have you done to me?
I think I'll go back to sleep again.
I know you are. I'm going to struggle you to sleep.
Oh, wait, Mr. Dithers. There was something in the paper this morning about there being a possibility of a Navy boat being entered. Some of the boys who are sailors got together and were going to rent a boat to row in the race.
Yeah, that's the way it was in my dream.
Huh? One shot. The east side boat won.
No, the west side.
Hey, no. The sailors won. I know they won.
Yahoo! I'm going to the seashore at last. Oh, this is wonderful. Go on, folks. Yahoo!
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Dithers certainly is pleased about winning the bet from Cora.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't have the heart to tell Mr. Dithers about the rest of my dream, Blondie.
Oh? What was that?
Yeah, well, I dreamt that no matter whether Mr. Dithers won or not, Mrs. Dithers is still going to make him go to the mountains.
Blondie, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 19th, 1944 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.